for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
By Colonel Speed Wilson, speaking on the New World Order at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground National Park, Tuesday evening, December the 29th, 1992, at the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's Hot Springs National Park.
Japan and France went together and created a multi-billion-dollar reprocessing plant where they can extract that 5% of almost spent radioactivity and bring the contents back up to 100%. And then they used the 5% they took out to heat water to heat the downtown of Paris and all that sort of thing. So there is no waste. But you see, they don't want you to know that because the Rockefeller Rothschilds got a lot of coal and oil they got to sell you before that goes. And then maybe we will. But don't bet on it. By the way, the energy crisis, we got oil coming out of our ears in the United States. And had. I tried to tell people that in 1973 and they laughed me to scorn. Well, they created the Department of Energy to solve the problem. Do you know how much oil the Energy Department produces? About as much education as the Education Department produces, which is zero. But it gains control, 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 control. That's the whole thing. But there are some countries in the world that don't need the International Monetary Fund. I think you can probably guess who they are because we're destroying them. South Africa, Taiwan, Korea, all the others on down the line. Because they have control of the others. Give me control of a nation's money, and I don't care who makes its laws. Did you know that the black Africans in South Africa own more cars, more television, more bathtubs than all of the Soviet Union population? They have the same problem in South Africa that we have on our southern border with Mexico. As their former prime minister said, I will gladly compare human rights and standard of living with all the citizens of South Africa, with any other nation in all of Africa, and the Soviet Union. And they win hands down. We're going to force it to become a communist nation, thanks to people like Jesse Jackson and the other group, Comrade Jackson. Call him a reverend, and he never had a church. He would qualify for skull and bones, because he doesn't know the Lord, sure. Well, I have to look and find that God still has everything under control. Okay. Well, the World Conservation Bank, you won't hear anything about that. But it was created by James Baker when he was Secretary of Treasury. Remember, he's a CFR member. They met out in Phoenix, Arizona, and they decided that they would create the World Conservation Bank, the WCB, and this is the way it works. All these third world countries that have gotten a lot of money from the Rockefeller Rothschild banks and the IMF and that type thing, they can't pay the money back. But you can't go down and repossess a country. Well, you can do what we did to Manuel Noriega, but that's not too popular. By the way, it probably wasn't a factor, but George Bush's oldest brother, Prescott's his first name, Prescott Bush, had $18 million invested in a hotel in Panama City, and Noriega wouldn't give him sewer and water. Probably had nothing to do with it. You know, he's an honorable man, you know. By the way, we will have good relations with Vietnam because there's too much oil off the coast of Vietnam. We're probably going to move, we've already gotten out of Subic Bay, but we'll be going into Cameron Bay. And we'll be paying the communists millions of dollars to let us occupy the base that we built in the first place. You talk about ripoff. But this is the way the World Conservation Bank works. If a country who owns all these money, if they'll turn over a proper portion of their wilderness area, like the rainforest in Brazil and all the others, then those debts will be forgiven. And the World Conservation Bank will hold those reserves. Now, Brazil's already done it, Peru has done it, Argentina's done it, Mexico to a limited extent, they've already turned over. And it looks like the World Conservation Bank will end up owning about one-third of the Earth landmass. Guess who will control the World Conservation Bank? The same people that loan the money, Rockefeller Rothschild. You know why we paid the Panamanians to take the Panama Canal? Gave them $4 billion? Well, the Panamanian government owed Chase Manhattan Bank $200 billion, and so most of the money never left the country. It went from your pocket to Chase Manhattan pocket. It didn't even go down to Panama. And the European Economic Community, we've already gotten that. Communism, people wonder, how did we get communism? Well, this bunch hates democracy because it takes too many people to have to be bought, have to be paid off to control a democracy. Plus, the word may get around if you ever lost control of the news media. So, when Mr. Kerensky, the czars had abdicated, they weren't kicked out, they'd abdicated and were living rather well, and Mr. Kerensky was forming a new government. It was going to be a democracy. He had the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights of the United States, and they were going to have a parliamentary system, which has something to say over the system we have. So they couldn't have that happen. So these Rockefeller Rothschild people, most of that time Rothschilds, but Rothschilds. So the European group over there, that power group kicked in $20 million. Now you have to remember, in 1917, $20 million was probably like $200 billion today or something like that. And the United States kicked in $20 million, and they found an old dissident, communist called Lenin. That's not his real name. But anyway, and they paid 500 mercenaries, put them on a train, and they crossed at least 12 countries and were never stopped. Never stopped, never inspected. And they went over, and they overthrew the struggling government, and Mr. Kerensky entered exile in the United States. And it was near that, I think I remember he died about 5 or 6 years ago. And if you want to read about that, there's an excellent book by the author, again, Antony Sutton. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution tells you exactly how it was financed and how it worked. Another one by Howard Katz, K-A-T-Z, entitled Warmongers. See, war is very, very profitable. You prepare for war, then you carry out a war, and then you reconstruct. And you keep doing that cycle over and over and over again. So, and more control ends up in their hands. Sutton wrote National Suicide, but being a professor, it was too scholarly and not too many people read it. So he wrote it in a better format that everybody would read and entitled it The Best Enemy Money Can Buy. That's why we keep the Soviet Union alive. By the way, the Soviet Union right now, as I mentioned, every 24 hours they're building 10 new tanks, three new high-performance jets, and a new submarine every 6 weeks. We're scrapping just about an equal number. They haven't destroyed a single warhead. If you had time, I could go through the intermediate nuclear agreement. The communists never sign a treaty before they figured out how to beat it. They always know how to beat it. All the tanks that they were supposed to destroy that were in East Germany, they just simply moved them over back behind the Kuril Mountains, which weren't included in the treaty. And now they're selling all their obsolete equipment to Iran and other countries that have the money because they're replacing their old equipment, new equipment, and we're just getting rid of our equipment. When Dick Cheney, Secretary of Defense, was faced with the statistics that I just quoted you, he said, well, you can't expect them to shut down immediately because it would create massive unemployment. We'll tell the people in California that when they shut down the defense center. We're destroying our industrial base. And that's deliberate. It's called by them controlled disintegration. And another book, you remember None Dare Call It Conspiracy, written by two men. Well, Larry Abraham, last year or 2 years ago, published a book entitled Call It Conspiracy. And it's very, very good. Well, The Soviet Union is now the world's greatest single military power. We could go into the Glasnost operation. Did you know there have been six other Glasnosts? And he even called them Glasnost. And each one of them, we came in and saved them. And then they had this bit of freedom. You know why they do that? They do the same thing over in China, the Great Leap Forward and the flower thing and all that. About every 10 or 20 years, they have a big move of freedom, so that they can identify all the leaders of the freedom movement, and then when they end it, they kill them all. They do it regularly. You see, there's one that people say we don't learn anything from history. Well, of course we do. We learn that we don't learn anything from history. You just keep going on. Same song, just the next page. That's all they're doing. Well, Anatoly Golitsyn in 1981 had a manuscript pointing out that everything that happened in 1989 and is happening now was going to happen. He told everybody that would listen. He defected from the KGB, and nobody believed him. They published a book in 1984. Dodd and Mead published the book entitled New Lies for Old. He expanded in detail just exactly what's happening today, and at the end of it, within a 10-year period, and he even said when Mr. Gorbachev becomes the head of the Soviet Union, that will start a 5-year program in which at the end of that conclusion, they will move to conquer the world. And he said, of course, they couldn't get any more money because the Soviet Union never paid, so that they would break up into individual countries, and then we'd loan individual countries money so that they can survive and all of that. Plus, you better remember that now that they have 15 so-called independent countries over there, they now have 15 votes instead of one in the United Nations. And the United Nations is the one world government. And they will have, we've already turned our armed forces over to them. And Kissinger last year at Yvonne's France at the Bilderberger meeting, he said that we have created an international police force. And he said the Americans, the United States citizens, would be highly indignant if the UN troops came into Los Angeles to put down riots. But he says in the not-too-dear future, they will welcome it. Did you ever see the ABC television movie, America, spelled with a K? Well, you ought to see it. That's what America will be like very shortly. Well, with the Soviets running it. Well, Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party of the United States, says the U.S. Communist Party is more influential now than it's ever been in all of its history, because of creating the atmosphere that the USSR is no longer a threat. In fact, back in 1988, Gus Hall said that he and Angela Davis would no longer, others, would no longer appear on the ballots for running for president because, and get this, they saw no difference between the objectives of the Communist Party, USA, and the Democrat Party. I don't know how any Christian could vote for Clinton. Well, as one dear brother, a Presbyterian pastor, said that because he's for everything God's against, and he's against everything God is for.
The Southern Baptists didn't hear that.
Well, the Southern Baptists don't hear a lot of things. They just listen to each other, and they are very limited in their knowledge. They quote the scriptures, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." They read it to be ye transformed by the removing of your mind. As one guy says, you look in their eyes and the light's on, but there ain't nobody home. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're taken into captivity for the lack of knowledge. And what do you do with it? Well, many things. Let's go, by the way. There's so much to talk about. 1950, the Senate, all that, whether you like it or not, there's going to be a government, whether you like it or not, and so forth. Well, what's going to happen? Well, this whole thing is going to collapse. By the way, before I forget it, there's a little pamphlet back there entitled The New World Order. It looks like this. I brought some, so you can pick it up for 25 cents. I could give them to you, but I find when I give books away, people don't read them. So I thought if you had 2 bits invested, you might read it. But, and the 2 bits stays here at Lake Hamilton. I don't get anything out of it. I don't choose to. I just want you to know what's going on. This is the best. up-to-date chronology of what's going on, how this whole thing came. And all you have to do is add in the back somewhere up here that Willie Clinton is Rhodes Scholar, CFR, Trilaterist, Al Gore, CFR. And then you'll be right up to date. Well, here's it. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil." Do you see that today? Everything on this earth that is evil is called good. And everything that is really good in the eyes of God is called evil. Proverbs 17:15. "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both are an abomination unto Almighty God." And this is most reassuring. Proverbs 16:9. "Man makes his plans, but God directs his ways." Well, this bunch is going to collapse. Revelation 14:8. "And the second messenger followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city." And if we have time, maybe we'll show you where Babylon is. "Because she made all nations drink of her wine and her fornications." Revelation 18:2. "And another messenger cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils," Satan worshippers, "and a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of her fornications and her wine, and the rulers of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants," there you are, the money changers, "of the earth have become rich through the power of her delicacies." Well, I can just see this bunch meeting sometime in the not-too-distant future, and they will say, "Well, we have absolute control. No one can buy or sell unless our computer says they can. We have absolute control. We have passports. See, we know where they are. Anytime you make a purchase, the computer will tell them where you are. We're doing that right now with the MasterCard, Visa, and that sort of thing. If they want to know where you are, they just find out where you checked in. They know exactly. You won't have to figure your income tax. They'll know everything you spent. The only way you can get outside of it is to trade. And they'll be meeting and they'll say, "Well, we've done it. We have absolute control." And about that time, somebody will jump up and say, "Did you hear that trumpet?" And I know that you know it's not a literal trumpet. But they'll show up and the Lord will say, or one of his representatives will say, "I thank you very much for all your efforts. You've put this one world government together rather nicely. And now my anointed ones, the saints, will take over. And we have a plan for you. It's called a hot time in the old pit tonight." And away they go, because they're Satan worshipers. One dear brother, when he was leaving, well, we'll finish. Now, I don't really know, but I am convinced we are going to have some bad, bad, bad times ahead. For some parts of the world, they're already in bad times. See, my dear brother back there from the Ukraine, you ought to talk to him a while. He trusts the communists to be communists. He knows they'll be exactly what they said they'd be. Well, the communist criminal conspiracies planned for the United States. By the way, in 1951, I read the total three works of Lenin while I was out in Korea. And wanting to understand, I wrote to the librarian at the University of Texas, my alma mater, and asked for three authoritative discourses on communism. And she sent me the three volumes of the works of Lenin. First volume, first chapter, he says, "Our purpose is the creation of a worldwide Soviet republic." He didn't speak in parables. Isn't that interesting? "First, we will take Eastern Europe." They have it. "Then the masses of Asia." They have it. "Then we will surround the United States, which will be the last stronghold of capitalism. We will not have to attack. It'll fall into our hands like a rotten fruit." It's always been internal demoralization. I think you see that. CFR, Trilateral, all that bunch. By the way, Fritz Mondale's father was an original signatory of the Humanist Manifesto, and his brother is still a Methodist preacher in the National Council of Churches. You know, humanism says there is no God, and if anything's to be solved, man has to do it himself. Internal demoralization plus external encirclement and nuclear blackmail will lead to surrender. I knew, and I tried to share with many planners in Washington, although I wouldn't bet on it, I have never seen that the United States would ever be destroyed by a thermonuclear exchange. Because if they blow us away in a thermonuclear, highly radioactive sometime thing, but that's not so either, then where in the heck would they get their food? You know? They may be heartless, but they're not stupid. Toynbee and Tolstoy, two great historians, all agreed as they studied great societies that they all followed a pattern. And you can see the pattern in the Old Testament with the nation Israel. From slavery or bondage came faith. And from faith came strength. And from strength came freedom. You can see it in our nation. And from freedom came abundance. But from abundance comes dependence. Let the government do it. And from dependence comes fear. And from fear, surrender back to slavery. We may very well pass that circuit. People have said, you know, we don't have a free economy. We have what the dictionary would call a fascist economy. Communism, the government or the state owns all the property. But in a fascist system, the people own the property, but they pay taxes on it, rent if you please, and then the government tells you what you can do with it. But you say, it's mine. Yeah, it's yours. Go try to do something that the government won't approve, like filling in a swamp and find out it would exterminate the spotted rear-end mosquito or something. Upset the whole ecology. One fellow up in New Jersey emptied an area that was on the main highway that had been filled with old rubber tires for years and years and breeding mosquitoes, and he bought the land to put up a garage, and he removed the tires, properly disposed of them, started filling it in, did fill it in, made it into nice land. He's serving a 3-year term for destroying a wetland. He's in jail. Now, the guy, Bolsky, who ripped the American banking system off to some $18 billion, served 18 months. Well, what do we do? There's only one answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then while I hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. Glory to God. Absolutely. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You must get truth and you must take action. How do we do that? Well, quickly, there's some excellent publications. One is you can call a number. It's an 800 number, 800-528-0559. And if you have a credit card, I would suggest that you ask them for information about the World News Digest. This is an easy-to-read bi-weekly publication, and it'll give you all sorts of information. Chaos Command, tell you what to look forward to when the government creates chaos coming up. And that will cost you about 6 months, $60. The one that, and I subscribe to it because you get all sorts of information here. You'll never get the news media. The number again, 800-528-0559. Call them up. Subscribe to the minimum so you can see if it's what you want. I think the best one available today is Don McElvaney's Intelligence Advisory. A Christian. He always ends with a scripture. But I've met the gentleman. He wanted me to go to South Africa with him. There's a military representative, but I couldn't. And Election 92 towards Socialist American. And he tells you exactly what's going to happen. He said that Clinton would be the next president 8 months before he was ever in. And he explained why. It comes out once a month. Excellent newspaper. Don McElvaney's Intelligence, McElvaney Intelligence Advisory. And the abbreviation is MIA, Missing in Action. McElvaney's Intelligence. Now, here's one anyone can afford for Spotlight. Excellent little newspaper. It's only $36 $36 for a year. Comes out weekly. I'll give you the 800 number, $36 for 52 issues, 800-522-6292. Spotlight. I want to caution you. Pray for discernment when you read this. But you will find all the Bilderberger activities and who they're doing it to now, and the top lobbyists that are coming into the Clinton administration are all foreign lobbyists, and on down. In fact, his chief of staff will also be a fellow Rhodes Scholar. And on down, I think that's about all. I'll be working. I hope to be able to get a chart like this on the station when it's available. But it shows you the CFR and trilateralist members within the administration. All these over here are all members of the news media who are members of the conspiracy. By the way, George Will and Bill Buckley, both members of CFR. They own the liberal side. McLean Lear own public BS system, PBS. They're all there. If you knew who these people were, it's CFR members interviewing CFR members. Yeah. And it's a rigged show. Every staff of the Defense Department, like Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, CFR member. Before him, Admiral Krauss, CFR member. And Rogers before him, CFR member. General Myers before him, CFR member. John Vesey before him, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, CFR member. And then, of course, in the State Department and the Treasury Department and House and Senate members and on down. You look at that. Labor unions, how do you think the people in the rank and file of the labor unions would feel if they knew that all their bosses were working for Rockefeller? They sure do. And by controlling the unions, they can really create a crisis. There isn't a city in the United States that has more than, probably 3 days of food within its boundaries. And if people killed each other for 5 gallons of gas, which they did in 1973, can you imagine what they'll do when they don't have any food? So become informed, become active. When Pat Robertson ran for president, I became active in politics for the first time in my life. Of course, being in the military, I couldn't otherwise. Some people say, well, he didn't win, but bless God, he's got them running. Even the 60 Minutes was quite upset the other night because since Pat Robertson ran for president, quite a few school boards out on the West Coast, all the school board members are Christians. And in Hawaii, they had one Christian in their legislature. When Pat Robertson ran for president, they ended up with 9. Get involved. Christian Coalition. I'm a charter member of Christian Coalition. In fact, the news media is getting real upset because on the mainline program, they were talking about the religious right. Well, how about the heathen left? But, you know, they don't talk about the heathen left. It's just the religious right. They talk about the extreme right. They don't mention the extreme left. But I assume there has to be one because there can't be a right without a left. But you never hear it mentioned because the news media is all on the extreme left. And right now, at this time, Christian Coalition has more paying members than the Democrat and Republican Party combined. It's approaching 200,000. And it is spreading like wildfire. And on the evening news the other day when they talked about the school boards, and it says, everyone is getting upset because of this exploding grassroots movement. Grassroots mean the people are getting involved now. And the politicians don't like it. They thought it was great when you were on the outside, when you allowed them. Let me give you a brief testimony. Pat's a personal friend of mine, so I'm a little prejudiced. I've known him for, 23 years. And we used to have dinner with he and Dee Dee about once every 3 months in the mountains of Virginia. When he would say he spent the weekend in the mountains of Virginia, we probably had dinner with him. As Pat said, he loved to talk to Ruth and I because we never tried to impress him with how spiritual we were. Can you imagine being somebody like that when everybody that walks up to you is going, oh, I got a word of the Lord for you. And they do it. You know, they jerk and carry on and he says, a little bit of a joke, he says, how do you know? And he said, I get letters, and somebody had a word for him. He says, my son, Pat. He said, I don't read any further because God knows my name ain't Pat. But, well, he's a man of integrity, and I hold him in high esteem. And Dee Dee likewise. And so when they decided to go with this, I forgot my train of thought on the whole deal. But anyway, a fellow by the name of Mitchell called in from Florida and said, Pat, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into the Freedom Council back in the 1980. And he said it was a great grassroots movement. Let's not let it die. And Pat said, well, I'll think about it. He said he no longer hung up than the Spirit of God impressed him that he should, because he ought to practice what he'd been preaching. For people to become informed, to pray about it, and then take some action. He'd always said many people do a lot of praying, but they don't take any action. Those people that do take action take it based on absolutely ignorance of what they're supposed to be doing. So you become informed, pray about it, and then take action. Those things, all three. And then he decided, well, what am I going to call it? And he could have called it a lot of innocuous names, and then the Lord said, what's the matter? What's wrong with Christ? So it's Christian Coalition. And their slogan is, Christians are Americans too. And so they're moving on. A letter came that 2 years ago, Road to Victory number one, he had hoped that maybe about 300 people would show up. 800 came. Victory number two, Road to Victory number two, he thought maybe it would be real fortunate if we got 800 or 1,000. 2,300 showed up. And it was getting so powerful that George Bush made a special trip down to talk to us. The very next morning, Paul Warwick, founder of the Heritage Foundation and other very conservative organizations, after George Bush talked the very next morning, he said, I hope you people recognize that the man you heard last night wouldn't give you people the time of day if he didn't need your vote. In other words, he's telling us he doesn't like Christians. He's here because he knows you need you. Well, when they came up with their program, and it's pure grassroots, no big move, because what you do is do you realize how few people are involved in deciding who you're even going to get a chance to vote for? Who's involved in getting a name on the ticket? I was astounded when I became involved in that. But they thought, well, let's try it. And they got Ralph Reedy and a few others that were very active in other campaigns, and so they tried it. And here's the program. They get up a profile of the candidates, pro and con, and they have about four major issues. Are you pro-family? Are you pro-life? And some of those right on down the line. And they'd be the ones that the Christians had all before, if they really knew. By the way, we did that for this last election and distributed, get this, 40 million voter guides. Ruth and I distributed over 30,000 by churches that requested them. We gave it to a lot of churches that didn't request them, because I paid $200 and got a mailing list of all the churches in the Akron, Canton, and Mansfield area and sent them some. So we'll get some more next year. We thought they ought to know who they were voting for. Well, so this group decided that's what they would do. Now, they wait till the weekend before the election. And by that time, they've gotten all the information on all the candidates, and then it's a blitz. They just blitz the area, all the churches, all the Christians, everybody else. And they backed 9 candidates in the Virginia election, and they got 7 elected. They upset one senator who'd been in the House of Regents in Virginia for 20 years. And it just works. And the establishment says it's unfair. You don't give us a chance to respond. Well, of course. They called it guerrilla warfare. Because it's cheap. You don't expend a lot of energy. You don't expend a lot of money. And when they told Ralph Reedy it's guerrilla warfare, and he says, and guess whose butt's in the bag? You know, the body bag in guerrilla warfare? It's the establishment. They were the ones that they zipped up in the rubber bag and hauled them off because they're dead. It works. And I would encourage you to get involved. And, of course, there's some independent candidates and on and on and on and on. But, so, get involved, become informed, and now I guess it's time for questions and try to answer. If you have any. Yes, brother?
You were talking about the new military
movement going to
be coming out of the Soviet Union. Do you still foresee that as the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38?
Yeah, because if you don't know Ezekiel 38, Glenn has the tapes here. of what I taught on that in Ezekiel 38, and I think that's about the only, that's the only event that I can see is yet to be fulfilled, is Ezekiel 38 and 39. And as you know, the sons of Noah ended up in that area. Japheth, you can get the old ancient maps, and Japheth's name is written all across what we would call Russia today, and they come out of the uttermost north and so forth and so forth. And it'll turn out to be a one-day war, as I see it, a 24-hour.
One day after the attack, Israel.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. And so Israel can stand down and sleep that one in. They don't have to get up because God's going to clobber them. Yes, sir.
Bilderberger, is that a name of a group or is that a...
Bilderberger? It's the name of a hotel in Vienna, and that's where they first met to form that control group.
There's no family by the name?
No, it's a Rothschild group. With...
One quick question.
Uh-huh.
Did I ever hear you say one time that Jimmy Carter is a witch?
I didn't say he was a witch. I said that he was not a born-again Christian. Because Glenn and I both know the Mulichuk brothers. And Dan Mulichuk had Logos Publishing. And they published a most disgusting book entitled The Miracle of Jimmy Carter. And influenced a lot of Christians. Well, I called Dan up. Both of us were international directors in Full Gospel Businessman Fellowship International. And I said, Dan, I'm very upset. The miracle of Jimmy Carter is that he's a charter member of the Rockefeller Trilateral Commission. Has nothing to do with his faith in God. He wasn't even reelected for a second term in Georgia. He was a one-term governor. And Glenn and I both know Judge Kermit Bradford. The old fellow died here a while back. And I asked Judge Kermit Bradford, he was a state governor, and I asked him, well, what do you think about Jimmy Carter? And he said, well, the biggest lie Jimmy Carter ever told you was, I'll never lie to you. But in the Newsweek, and I still have the clipping, he was asked in an interview, are you born again? His answer was very clear. I am thrice born. Any Masons here? That's right. He said, forget it. It's a Masonic term. It has nothing to do with faith in God.
Couldn't stand for what he stands for and be a Christian.
Well, he didn't stand for anything. He didn't stand for anything. Someone said scheduling the White House tennis courts were beyond his capability. But, so the joke goes, as one of the comedians said, do you know why Miss Lillian wouldn't let Billy be president? It was because Jimmy wasn't capable of running a filling station. So, but
Jimmy Carter.
No, Jimmy Carter.
He,
oh, he's building houses for Habitat.
Right.
Beating his thumb to death. Habitat.
I see pictures of him in the news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's rummaging around. And somebody heard him teaching a course at one of the universities and said, what do you find to the former president and his lectures on foreign affairs? And the guy said, oh, my. That's his comment. You can go to sleep on him. And he didn't run anything. It's the big news that Brzezinski ran the thing. Zbigniew new Brzezinski is the one that came up with the idea of the Trilateral Commission. So Kissinger went to be director of the Trilateral Commission while Zbigniew new Brzezinski took Kissinger's place in the White House. You know, the revolving door. We're seeing that occurring now in the Clinton affair type operation. They do that once in a while. If they can't find somebody that can function, they'll find somebody that just doesn't know what's going on. Yes, ma'am.
Can you check
if there
was a Christian
on the CFR? Yeah.
Well,
John
Vesey.
Well, how many of them really know where this is going? I don't really know. No, John Vesey. I invited him to be our speaker at military breakfast in Norfolk. And he accepted, except he was sent over to China. And we finally ended up getting a good friend. And then I tried to get the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and I couldn't. And then the Secretary of the Navy tried to get him. And then I ended up with General Jerry Curry, who is an outstanding black general, a personal friend. I've known him since he was a light colonel. But, you see, if you're going to get ahead in this outfit, and you're invited to join, if you refused, I don't think you'd last too long. Your career would probably terminate. And there again, I can't tell you whether General Vesey really knew what the ultimate plan was. A lot of them don't. when I came on to this and I checked the list, I shared with three generals on the contingency planning. One of them was a Christian, General Sutherland, Army. And then they began to wake up on what was going on. And we were able to frustrate some of McNamara's plans at that time and Dean Rusk's plans. By the way, another good friend was General Ralph Haynes. And Ralph Haynes and I had been down to Tulsa speaking at Full Gospel Business Men's Regional Convention. I spoke at the men's luncheon and so forth. And coming back on the plane, we were coming back to Washington, D.C. for the military breakfast the next morning. And we were chatting, and I said, "General, have you ever heard my teaching on the world conspiracy?" He said, "Yes, I have." And I said, "Well, do you see anything wrong with it?" And he said, "I just refused to think about it." He said, "Because I realized I was used for about 40 years. See, they took his four stars off of him to put him on Alexander Haig. Alexander Haig was a protege of the Kissingers. And Alexander Haig, when he was eligible to be a bird colonel in the United States Army, had 18 years in, and that's pretty quick promotion most, he was already a two-star general. And he, even the Washington Post admitted, it was highly unusual when he went from two-star to four-star. He never was a lieutenant general. And so, and he was the jailer for Nixon. Our brother in the Lord, Chuck Colson, said that in the Dallas Morning News. Said the last 6 months, Mr. Nixon was literally a prisoner in the White House, and his jailer was Alexander Haig. And Alexander Haig, it came out in U.S. News and World Report when he left the Army and came out to seek his possibility of being President of the United States, it said clearly, General Haig's assignment in the Watergate event was to force Mr. Nixon to resign. And he did. We could go into the details of how that... The brother back here, and then don't let me forget.
In the policy of Hussein now and Iran, how do you see them in the future?
I don't know. Remember, General Schwarzkopf let it slip that he was stopped short of the original plan, and the original plan was, of course, to remove Saddam Hussein. They stopped about 6 hours short of winning the war because the Republican Guard was in the process of being cut off, and that would have been the end of it. But somebody, State Department, Defense Department, some of the conspirators said, "No, we'll stop it at a 100-hour war." Well, they were some 36 hours ahead of schedule. If you've ever been in a military operation, every unit has, from H hour on, they have a time limit to get into certain positions. And if they get there ahead of time, they hold and report in. And if everybody is ahead of schedule, you just keep moving. But if one unit lags back, everybody waits till they catch up and that type thing. And so they were way ahead of schedule. The air war was so successful that there's hardly any resistance. And of course, you know that I think it was 30,000 Iraqis surrendered to one helicopter. They just threw them and quit. But it was stopped short. And when Mr. General Schwarzkopf said that, he said he had misunderstood, and he backpedaled real quick to get out of it. How disgusting. And we built, and it's very true, that we armed Saddam Hussein. We built him up. The Soviet Union were flying 12 airplanes a day in right up until the day that we hit him. And George Bush said, well, when he called Gorbachev and called his hand on it, so Gorbachev says, "You got to understand, George, we need the money." And he's selling it, of course, selling the stuff. And the general that invaded Kuwait was a Russian general. We know his name, his rank, the whole thing. He was down to running the whole operation. Of course, we invited him to invade. There's a brother here. I don't want to forget.
Doesn't the Bible say for us to possess the land?
Absolutely.
But doesn't it also say in the Bible that I wish above all things that you prosper?
Absolutely.
And be in good health?
As your soul prospers.
Yeah. Well, why don't we have passed in Washington a world citizenship that I could go all around the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ?
You can do that now.
Why don't we also have that all over the whole world that we'd have the full freedom and we'd have the full gospel? Why don't we also have put in all of the public schools that we'd have courses in study of the Bible, just like you study math, just like you study English, just like you study psychology or anything else?
We should have the Bible taught all the way around the world. The only reason we're not getting these things done is, praise God, we don't take the first step.
You're right.
The journey of 1,000 miles is started with the first step. Now, all we got to do is to take 10 people, put them into 10 offices, pass these laws that everyone that's in a school or a judge or a governor or anything else has got to know something about God and then know something about the Bible.
Absolutely.
For them to study about a God that's in Africa or a God that's someplace else.
Right on.
But one God, and that's Jehovah God.
Amen.
So it looks to me like we're sitting down on our job.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Do you mind if I say a few words?
I think you said an excellent amount. Thank you, sir. All I can say is amen to what you said. I like what the brother is saying, and it's so true. That we are in the condition that we are because, as he said, we haven't participated.
Right.
And the news media are getting highly upset with all these people that are being elected to offices who are Christian. Get this. Did you know that 24 states in the United States have sodomy laws? Now get this. Colorado, just because they would not give special privileges to the queers, they're boycotting them. Isn't that interesting? The governor of Georgia said he wouldn't go, and Georgia has a sodomy law. The District of Columbia has a sodomy law, and we have two representatives in the House of Congress from Massachusetts, that shouldn't surprise you, who are self-avowed queers, and one of them was running a callboy house out of his office, and they were both reelected. And in the District of Columbia, the ACLU and a bunch of people down there forced Georgetown University to admit almost a quota of queers. They have a sodomy law in the District of Columbia. In other words, they were forcing the Georgetown University to violate the law. And now they're having you teach children about homosexuality and sodomy as an alternate lifestyle. In other words, they're teaching your children to be criminals in 24 states. That, you know, liberalism, as George Will said, liberalism is not a political philosophy, it's a mental illness. They're sick. Right, good. Let me tell you, just, you know, this thing about getting involved. As Ruth knows, when Pat got into it, I told Pat, sitting in our living room, I said, Pat, you know what they did to Goldwater? Just imagine what they're going to do to you. And I said, even if you're elected, you'll probably be killed. And he said, well, if God can put me there, he can keep me there. And his attitude is about right. So I called up and I asked, I said, what about the Republican Party in Bath County? Well, it turned out to be the bank president's wife, Evelyn Gwen, dear little lady. So I called her and I said, when are you meeting? She said, oh, Steve, we're meeting tomorrow night over at the courthouse. I said, great. I went and there were about 20 people. Emmett Hanger shows up. He wants to be the Republican state representative. He and I hit it off right away, talking, chatting back and forth. And they needed delegates to go to the district convention. And I told Emmett Hanger I wanted to find out how this whole system worked. So when they asked for delegates, I volunteered. And I went over. Only 120 people from two districts, the 25th and the 26th, about 60 people in each one, is going to even determine who the people in those districts get to vote for. I was sitting there. Mr. Hanger came up and said, Colonel Wilson, I understand you wanted to understand this. Would you like to serve on the nominating committee? I said, I sure would, and I nominated him. And he ended up giving the seconding speech for his nomination. He got elected. Well, I sort of liked that. So then I volunteered to be a state representative delegate. And this was funny. I'd only been to two meetings, and I'm already a representative of the district and also of the state. And they were seated alphabetically, you know, the flags and all that stuff. And here we are, Bath County, the only county ahead of us is Augusta. Well, unknown to me, the place is packed out, a whole bunch. And General Curry had left the Army, and he's running for Congress over in the 2nd District at Norfolk. And these people could see me down front, and the first thing, oh, We had 20 full gospel businessmen out in the aisle from where I was sitting, all hugging each other and carrying on, and people looking at us, you know, I don't know about that bunch. But old Freeman Meadows and all those bunch. And Evelyn Glenn says, "Pete, how do you know all these people?" I said, "Oh, they're all brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ." She said, "And what are they doing here?" I said, "They're doing the same thing I'm doing here." And if Pat Robertson had gotten to the convention, well, really, if the Christian, the so-called Bible Belt, had supported him and gotten it, he would have probably been the Republican nominee. But the Christians in the so-called Bible Belt wouldn't vote for him. And I got you some stories on that. I happened to be in Atlanta teaching at a suburban church out there, and the pastor said, "You know, Pat's going to be downtown and the rest in the hotel and all that, and if you'll cut the talk short tonight, maybe we can get down there, and I'd like to meet Pat." So I went down, and he did get to meet Pat. Pat turned around, he's on all these things in his ear, and he's conceding, he's withdrawing, and all that sort of thing. He looked down and says, "Speed, what are you doing here?" And I said, "I came to help." And he laughed and said, "Man, you got here too late, brother." So this one Baptist pastor later, I said, "Isn't it a shame that the people, the Christians, wouldn't support Pat Robertson?" And he said, "Well, I didn't vote for him." And I said, "Who'd you vote for?" I said, "You voted for Bush." I started to tell him, "Well, you voted for a Satan worshiper, probably. I don't know that for sure." And I guess my face got rather red or white. I don't know which one. And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because I don't believe in miracles." I took a deep breath, and you'll forgive me for what I said, but I was angry. I said, "Do you pray?" "Why, of course we pray." And I said, "If you don't believe in miracles, what the hell are you praying for?" And he stood there, he almost spoke in tongues. But if Pat Robertson had gotten to the convention, if they'd gotten him there, you see, in a national convention, the delegates have to vote proportionate to the caucuses or whatever they had in the primaries or whatever they had. But if you get past the first ballot, then you vote your conscience. And 2/3 of the delegates there were pro-Pat Robertson. We had that place packed out. I know 6 of them, full gospel businessmen, that worked for the night. I was going to be as an alternate, but it didn't work out. So you get involved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's one man walked up to another and says, "Do you understand this widespread apathy?" And he said, "No, I don't, and I couldn't care less." That's just about the way most people are. And we got some Christians involved in Ohio. I plan to become more active there. Yes.
I want to ask you this. I'm not being critical. I want to know if the conspiracy is as bad as it's organized.
It just scares the living daylights out of these people, because they know that once the people become informed and aware of what I'm telling you, then they know that the people will rise up. As Thomas Jefferson said, any democracy probably ought to have a violent revolution about every 100 years, because, you know, the bureaucrats and all the others get in and all that sort of thing. That would be the last thing I would want to do, is a violent revolution. It may come to that. History will show that once you start taking over about 50% of the people's income in the form of taxes, it ends up with a violent revolution. Well, you had to work last year until the middle of May just to pay taxes, so we're probably getting very close to the critical point. But let's avoid that. Let's become involved. As your brother said, get on the school boards, get on the city councils, find out how these things work, get elected, work your way up the ladder in the political scheme. And if you don't do it, Ruth and I set up all one night in 1951 or 52. I had an opportunity to leave the Marine Corps and go back to what I'd love to do, was engineering. I knew that Korea didn't settle anything. We had that war won twice in the year that I was out there, and each time we had it won, we were told to blow up our ammunition and withdraw. And so we sat up all night, and it's that old thing, let George do it. Guess who George is? And I don't mean Bush. So we decided, well, bless God, I think I can be a good Marine, and I'll just stay and do it. And and did. And so that's it. You, if not us, who? And if not now, when? Just that simple. If we don't do it, guess who will? And if we don't do it now, tomorrow's too late. The brother back here.
In the overall geopolitical thing, you didn't mention Perot. How did you see him in that
time? He's an enigma to me. I don't really know. But I do know that he made his fortune computer operations for Health and Human Services. I think he came in to siphon off votes just to make sure that Willie Clinton got in. I think that's the only reason he came back in. Because, you see, as we mentioned last night, most people don't realize it, but Bill Clinton only beat Bush by 5%. Very small margin. And this is a real shocker. Bill Clinton got 2 million fewer votes than Dukakis did. So, you see, the difference was Perot being in there. No, he's not listed as a member. But neither is Ted Kennedy. Some of the people that go along with him, you don't have to dignify them with a title. They're doing it anyhow. And so they just go along on the whole.
But this is the end times. I've got the man in there that he wants in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can take that attitude. And you can sit back and say... You can sit back and say, Sarah, Sarah, what will be, and... That type thing, but I read the Bible on the other side. As the brother says, we're to possess the land and we're to occupy the land of the Lord. Occupy is a military term. That means to pursue, overtake, and recover all, and hold it till the Lord comes back. Absolutely. And the Bible tells us that we're to resist evil with all that's in us, and if Bill Clinton and the people in this outfit, Satan worshippers, aren't evil. Now, see, I didn't fight in three wars to sit down now. I know a lot of my friends who did. They're at the officers' club drinking beer and living it up now. I detest that bunch. Boy. Well, anyhow. Yes, brother?
You told me last night you might mention the AIDS controversy.
Oh, this horrendous conspiracy is so horrendous it's hard to believe. Would you believe that this group engineered AIDS? They took a bovine virus and engineered it, and the World Health Organization, abbreviated WHO, and a fellow by the name, a medical doctor by the name of William Douglas, Douglas spelling two S's on the end, and he wrote a book entitled, Who Murdered Africa? World Health Organization, WHO, Who Murdered Africa? And they put this virus deliberately into the smallpox vaccinations and vaccinated all the people in Africa. We know from satellites now that in large parts of the central portion of Africa, the villages are growing up in the jungle. There's nobody there. It's estimated that 40% of the black population in South Africa is AIDS infected now. That means that group in 10 years will be dead and their offspring will be dead. Now, there are three known cures for AIDS that the world knows. Lee Nystrom knows another one. Introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, and they have documented cases. Dear Brother Lee died not, 2 years ago? But one is hydrogen peroxide, a proper mixture intravenously filled. It kills all the AIDS viruses. Another one is Dr. Douglas has been practicing over in Africa now, and it has an 85% cure. It's to take about one-third of the blood out of your body. You can do that and circulate it. He just circulates it under a specific wavelength of ultraviolet light, and it kills all the AIDS virus. Put it back in, and it's a whole thing. The other one is hydrogen, the two oxygen molecules. Ozone treatment also kills the virus. But they're not about to do that, because from the time someone manifests the AIDS breaking out and whatnot, the medical association will realize about $150,000 a hit. Besides, why are they killing South Africa? It's because they said the Club of Rome Global 2000 study in 1985 said that by the year 2000, they would have to destroy, get this, 2 billion of the non-productive eaters from the face of the earth because we're using up their resources. You see, they own the world. And the non-productive eaters... Yeah, like you and me retired. We're non-productive eaters, so they hook you up to a device and kill you. Get out of the way and die. You know, that's what the former governor of Arizona said. Anybody that's over 75 is owes it to civilization just to die and get out of the way. And it'll go on and on. So that's the bit. And it's just that horrendous. And if you want to know more about it, get Who Murdered Africa. Now, the reason he knew that was because he could see where the AIDS was being reported, and it fit exactly where they didn't have the inoculations of smallpox. And the smallpox vaccination had occurred some 5 years before that in India, and India had no AIDS. So, and then he began to discover it. Now he has the internal memoranda in the World Health Organization and all the other. That's where it's going. Dr. Douglas publishes an excellent little newsletter entitled Second Opinion. It's an excellent newsletter. Real good. Oh, the drug traffickers and the homosexuals, they're not all that shot with that bunch, so they figured they're sort of non-productive eaters, too.
They traced one of them to a homosexual flight attendant who infected almost 100 people.
Did you know that when you have sex with somebody, be it heterosexual or homosexual, that you, in effect, are having sex with all the people that they've had sex with?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.